Welcome to More to Come, PW Comics World's weekly podcast of comics and graphic novel news, recorded this week in the offices of Publishers Weekly in beautiful Flatiron District of New York. I'm Heidi McDonald, the editor-in-chief of The Beat at ComicsBeat.com and KComicsBeat, and also a contributing editor to Publishers Weekly. And you can check us out on Blue Sky at pwcomicsworld.bsky.social.
And I'm Kate Fitzsimmons. I'm the podcast producer, and you can find us online on Facebook at PW Comics World.
And don't forget, you can find us on various podcast syndication platforms. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and usually, because we do have our technical problems, and you can also leave us a comment on those, should you feel so inclined, because we love to hear from our listeners. And yes, I am not Calvin. I am Heidi. Calvin is not here this week. He is in Japan. So Kate and I are holding the fort. And this week on More to Come, New York Comic Con is coming. Disney Toon is coming. And other digital comics news. Demon Slayer slays box office. Warner Brothers to get new owners. A One Piece revolution. And Heidi goes to SPX. Kate, how does it feel not having Calvin around?
Well, I love having Calvin around, but we've held down the fort without him before. We can do it again.
We can, but we have been, as we mentioned, Calvin is in Japan, and which is his friend of the podcast, wife Jody Culkin, her dream to go there, and Calvin's photos have been quite amusing. Of course, Kate, you've been many times.
Well, twice.
That's many in my book. I've never been. But yeah, Calvin seems to be enjoying the wonders of Japan.
Yeah. So, listeners, he's still going to be there for a couple more days. So if you have any suggestions for him, write in.
So hit him up on Blue Sky. I think he checks it out once or twice while he's there. Well, meanwhile, as we're fort holding, I hope Calvin is resting up just a tiny bit and not expending all his energy, because we are embarking on New York Comic Con season. And that is a busy time of year for us. It's the hometown show. And the big, big, big news is we will have a live recording
as our panel
of the episode 700 of More to Come.
700 episodes.
So you guys, Saturday in room 408, that is in the new wing at 5:15. This is pretty much prime time at con. So this is, you have no excuse not to go, okay? We will be celebrating the gala 700th episode, a spectacular of More to Come. And this is something we've been wanting to do for a long time, Kate.
Yeah, I mean, well, not specifically for the 700th, but we were always like, we should do a live show, we should do a live show, we should do it for one of the big numbers, we should do a live show. We've done this podcast for a long time, and it would be fun to do it in front of other people.
Yeah, we've been doing the podcast for 14 years. I think we mentioned that here. 14 years. I can't even... you are hearing exclusively here now for the first time. So not only will myself, Kate, Calvin, and Meg Lemke, our fourth musketeer, we will all be on it. And then we will be having three spectacular guests. Cartoonist Ngozi Okazu with her new book coming out. Also cartoonist Ben Passmore with his book is just out as well, Black Arms to Hold You. And finally, Cliff Chang, the great artist Cliff Chang, and my former editorial assistant. So so much to talk about. Three really fantastic people with a lot to say. So yeah, we're doing our own live talk show, and I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Hey, and we're not even charging you, top dollar tickets to get in. It's included with your New York Comic Con ticket.
That's it. That's it. So, yeah, please help us. If you are a friend of the podcast and happen to be at New York Comic Con, please join us in our celebration of 14 years, 14 wonderful years of doing More to Come. That's Saturday, October 11th, 5:15.
Okay.
In room 408.
One thing I will say, listeners, if you're listening, please, if we do have time for a Q&A, Do not do the, actually, it's more of a statement.
Yes, no statements. We're not going to be taking Q&As. We don't want, if it's a statement, no statement.
No statement. So if we have time for Q&A, no statement. If you say statement, we say next.
And if I have time, if I can get my crap together in the next 24 hours, we might have a special gift for people who come to the panel.
We might.
I got to get my crap together, though, because it's been a lot to put this together. But, well, there's a lot going on at New York Comic Con. And as usual. Okay, so my story, my preview is up in Publishers Weekly. It is out. It just came out on Monday. The big news, I think we kind of have mentioned this a little bit, is there's going to be a lot of business programming at the show. The entire River Pavilion is given over to our kind, to press and pros, no cosplayers, no racing through the cosplayers to get to a meeting, which I enjoyed the lively spectacle of cosplay. So it's not that I dislike cosplayers.
No, but this way there's more room for everybody.
Yeah,
the cosplayers will have their own large area not adjoined to us, and we will have our own large area not adjoined to them, and more room for everybody.
Yeah, and the bathrooms are fantastic up there. As you know, I know all of our listeners love hearing us talk about our problems going to the bathroom at New York Comic Con. Anyway, what do we have? So there's going to be, well, the ICV2 white paper schedule was announced. So this will be taking place Thursday. Thursday, there's going to be Library Day, followed by the ICV2. Of course, Milton Greep will be giving his white paper. I will be doing a talk about Lit RPG. I have to be honest, I have to bone up on it a bit before.
I can help you with that.
What is Lit RPG, Kate?
So Lit RPG is a genre of novel, frequently a serialized web novel, in which characters are in a world that operates by video game logic. So frequently, people are isekai'd in, that is to say, you know, transported from our world to that world. And, you know, they have stat points and like a little counter in their head. And you know, they're in a fantasy or science fiction world that operates by video game principles. So it's like you're playing the video game and now you are the video game.
Oh, interesting. All right. That isn't anything I would ever have come up with, but I understand it's quite popular right now.
It is.
Things like Dungeon Master Carl, do you know? Mm-hmm. What's it called?
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
That's it. All right.
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
I got to get this down before Comic-Con because I am moderating this panel, but you know, I trust myself to do the work. Ahead of time. I do my research for my panels right ahead of time, so it doesn't go right out of my head with all the excitement. Let's see, what else? Have you had a chance to look at the programming at all, Kate, or anything else that you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm very much looking forward to our own panel.
Oh, hell yeah.
I haven't looked at the programming list yet because, infamously, the New York Comic Con website is like a little bit hard on the brain. It's not the easiest to navigate unless it's changed a lot since last year. So I've been kind of putting off looking at it, but I should look at it.
So I will say I went through it last night for my own staff at the beat and kind of looked at which ones we wanted to cover. And I guess the one for me that's the most interesting is 12:30 on Thursday, which is called DC Vertigo. We're back.
That's very interesting.
And so it was the last year at New York Comic Con. They announced they were bringing back the legendary Vertigo imprint. And I guess we'll get some details this time, which should be interesting because there's been
But
there's been so many other Vertigo-like imprints, like
Black Label.
Well, no. I was talking more like Ignition Press and other publishers who are, you know, always trying to kind of follow in the footsteps of Vertigo, and you know, Distillery's been going on and so on, but yeah, should be interesting. Let's see what else is listen, I am not well, this is huge, you know, enough about Lit RPG. For me, this is important. At the ICV2 conference, they will have Angelo Exarcharos, who is the head of Universal Distribution. And
that is huge.
Listeners, if you have been listening to this podcast, for the year of 2025. You know, the Diamond bankruptcy has been huge, and the entrance of Universal Distribution, a Canadian distribution company, into the U.S. market, distributing periodicals, is one of the biggest effects of that. So Angelo Exarchopoulos is the I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
I think so.
He is known to everybody in the industry, as I found, known and respected. But this will be his first time kind of not speaking to the general public. It is at a professional meeting. But, you know, I've never met him. A lot of people have not met him and not had a chance to hear him speak. So this should be very interesting, because he's going to be a more and more influential person in the industry as we go along. And let's see what else. Well, this is of interest. There's a panel for Edgar Wright's new movie that will have both Lee Pace and Glenn Powell on it. So if there is any women in the room who were not ovulating, they will be when they leave the room. So that's my own personal observation. So,
well, this will be my first panel since COVID. Before that, I've been on panels at fan conventions, but not at a professional convention like this. So this will probably be the largest room I have ever been in front of.
Wow. Well,
I am not worried.
I'm not worried either.
Because we've been talking to way more people since.
Oh, my God.
God.
Kate, you should just do an episode where you talk about your journey in 14 years. Anyway, what else is happening at New York Comic Con? Well, the big news is DC has a booth again. I think we did talk about that last time. And there's this new publisher area that is going to have, Comixology and Mad Cave and several other publishers. And it's going to be in the back of the room and traditional publishers in the front. And there is a lot of Broadway programming this year. So if you're into Broadway, you're going to learn more about it. And in general, more media coverage, more media stuff.
Okay.
Like there's an Alien panel with Sigourney Weaver.
Well, partly that's probably because Aliens is now having a television series and a sequel coming up. So, the sequel's not Aliens. My mistake. But there is going to be an Aliens TV show going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah, but that's just ended, actually.
Well, there has just been an Aliens TV show going mm-hmm. on. It's relatively a fresh property at the moment because of that.
It is an Alien. Well, they have an Alien Earth panel, which is interesting. And then they have the cast of Alien panel. So with Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, and Veronica Cartwright. I think they kind of just looked at who was signing autographs and said,
went, oh my God,
let's put them on a panel together. So I think that's cool.
I think that's great.
I mean, I would go see that, you know?
Absolutely.
Lambert, good old Lambert. I loved her. The Alien is one of the few movies that broke the Bechdel test. It was like Scooby-Doo. It had two women.
Who talked about something that wasn't a man.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a female man-eating alien.
Well, they didn't know it was female, but it wasn't.
But you know, we know. We know.
Anyway, okay. Anything else at New York Comic Con that we should talk about here? It's coming. We're dreading it.
And looking forward to it at the same time. We will not have a booth again. We haven't had one since COVID, but it was a huge feature of our convention life before COVID.
Do you miss doing the booth?
Yes and no. It had its own charms. The experience of the convention without the booth is totally different because I was the booth runner, so it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to the convention. For all it's going to be a production number, and Heidi, let me know if you need me to help you plan convention snacks. I'm the convention snack expert.
The snacker. Well, it sounds like they said they'll have snacks for us, but
trust it.
Yeah, you're right. Always pack food. Pack snacks. Anyway, New York Comic Con. It's what's next. Okay. Big news over the last 2 weeks of digital comics suddenly back in the
news. So many things.
And so the biggest news is what I'm calling Disneytoon. Disney and Webtoon are teaming up, not just to run comics, but to create a whole new platform. The platform sounds like it's going to be kind of an expansion of Marvel Unlimited, mm-hmm. in that it is going to have comics from all of Disney's properties. That means Aliens, you know, all their Fox properties. I mean, that could also be The Simpsons, to be honest, along with Disney comics, Star Wars comics, of course, Marvel comics, everything from the entire Disney portfolio in one site, assuming it'll be a pay one price. And they will have also scrolling comics. There will be comics that are in the traditional period, you know,
sideways scroll, as opposed to infinite scroll.
Yes, well, presented page by page is what I call it, as opposed to the infinite scroll.
But I will say that it seems like they're still going to be bringing out the infinite scroll comics through Webtoon, just regular Webtoon. It's just that they are also teaming up to do this app, and I would not be surprised if a lot of their back catalog ends up reformatted, because just the page by page does not work real well on a phone.
So this news was of great interest, obviously, because Disney is a huge brand and Webtoon is a huge brand, bigger in Korea, obviously, or in Asia. And a lot of people wondered just who did this deal benefit. I think it benefits both.
Yeah.
But even the PR said that it was a handshake deal. Like, they had a deal memo. They hadn't really signed the contract yet, which, I forgot a tiny important detail, that Disney will be taking a stake in Webtoon, but only 2%, which seems about as small as you can possibly, be in for in the pot. But, I do feel like the news of this benefited Webtoon more than Disney, because Webtoon
definitely sent their stocks going up. Not their socks are on their feet. and I mean, given that Webtoon's IPO was a little rockier than expected, this is welcome news for them.
Yes, it was a great shot in the arm. I mean, Webtoon is still a giant.
They're a great company. It's just that their stock hadn't done quite as well as they had hoped.
Yeah. Well, yes. And there has been a lot of questions about their profitability here in North America. But it remains, you know, everybody in the vertical scrolling mobile comics space, which is huge internationally, calls them Big Green. And so this is a great deal for Big Green.
And I have a theory on why they're doing it.
Oh?
My theory is, so Disney famously blew huge amounts of money on Disney Plus.
Right.
Not so much maintaining it as like setting it up, trying to figure out how it goes, building the thing from scratch. And I think this made them realize, hey, why do we have to reinvent the wheel? Why don't we work with somebody who's already created a comics platform to make one for us?
Yes. Well, that is yes. I think you're correct about that.
I mean, and that's smart. I mean, why not?
I mean, I also feel for Disney, it's really just hey, we don't want to miss out on this. And as we've been talking about on the podcast for the last few months, this is the year of anime. It's not the year that anime has been popular, since it's been popular for years, but it's the year that everybody realized that anime is very popular.
So you can make money off of anime being popular.
Yes. So I think Disney was just like, hey, you know what? We better get in on this thing. You know, as someone who was working at Disney in the 90s during the rise of the internet, I could tell you so many stories about their fumbling efforts to be on the internet, their fumbling efforts at interactive. And, you know, the point is that Disney's a very, very effective company during that time. You know, the Lion King era, the biggest property of that period. But, you know, you don't always know it going in. And I think if they've learned one lesson, it's that, I guess we should take a little 2% stake just in case this is the next big thing.
Well, also, it might get them into the board meetings so that they can, like,
yeah,
keep in their hand and understand what's going on.
Well, this was far from the only digital comics news, though, during this period. Oh, there was so much more. So, you know, Global Comics, which we've been talking about on here for a couple years, is another player in the space. Mm-hmm. They really stepped up after this, really, the demise of Comixology as a standalone, and they have DC Comics, which is huge.
And now they're going to go Day and Date.
And they have Day and Date. They've announced 35,000 DC Comics on the platform, and they have also just been kind of ramping up. They're still in the mix. They will be sponsoring the ICV2 conference, so that's cool. So they're still playas in the game. But the new playa on the scene is Neon Ichiban, a name that we have been skeptical of, but you know what? They're getting it done. Founded by David Steinberger and Chip Mosier, the former Comixology people, they announced a slew of partnerships this week and went into a beta test. Mm-hmm. They have Mad Cave, they have IDW, they have Dynamite. I think they have a couple more. They've been just, you know, pinging with these deals. So yeah, they're getting a real stellar lineup. The site, I have not had a chance to go on to the actual site. Somebody told me it was a 403-ing earlier in the day. So that's not good. But maybe they had so much traffic, the database couldn't stand up to it. So anyway, Neon Ichiban, joining the fray.
Hey, I want to add something back about Webtoon. So it's also been announced that Disney Plus subscribers will be able to access a quote-unquote curated selection of titles for free on the new Disney Webtoon app as part of their subscription.
Yes. So, yes, they are bundling this as added value for their bundlers, right?
Right. Not the whole thing, but, you know, a little taste.
Yes.
To see if they can get the Disney Plus faithful into the comics,
which could be huge. I'm looking at Neon Ichiban, and I did missing out. They have Marvel and DC. I do believe they are the first digital platform that has both of them. Mm-hmm. They also have Distillery, of course, which is run by the same people. They have Vault, they have Oni, they have Dark Horse, they have Kodansha, and those are the ones that are the launch ones. And as I said, they're adding Dynamite, so they're getting everybody. And you know, is this the new Comixology? Maybe. So there's one other,
So what makes Neon Ichiban different than the old Comixology, other than the name?
That I don't, like I said, I haven't actually jumped in here and looked at it at all. I have not had a chance to play around with the app at all. As we know, when Comixology launched originally, which was, again, probably 14 years ago, it had a fantastic, searchability. It had all the credits in the correct comic book proper way. It had everything listed by series. It had everything listed in order. All things that Amazon doesn't have. They don't even have the credits right. So it's really sorry, Amazon. It's a crappy interface. I mean, I'm looking at the website right now. It looks really nice, but I haven't had a chance to jump in and
I will never forgive them for coming up with a completely new, different, and worse thing for comics on Kindle. You guys, you owned Comixology. You could have just rebranded what you already had. But no.
So the final bombshell of the week is that Crunchyroll has jumped back into their manga.
Yeah, so Crunchyroll has carried manga in the past and then stopped, but it's back. So they are going to have a special Crunchyroll manga standalone app, and it will be a ad-free experience. You'll be able to sign in using your regular Crunchyroll membership, and it'll have, they're specifically putting up, at least to start, manga that are linked to properties you can stream on Crunchyroll. And there are going to be some big names in this, including One Piece, Jujutsu Kaisen, Demons of the Shadow Realm, Apothecary Diaries, Delicious in Dungeon, The Summer Hikaru Died, and My Dress Up Darling, all of which are big recent titles.
So if you are a Crunchyroll, I didn't have time to even, because this is broke today. Mm-hmm. If you are a Crunchyroll subscriber, paid subscriber, is this an add-on or is it a bundle or is it a separate thing?
It's part of one of the levels of Crunchyroll.
Okay.
So Crunchyroll, like so many subscription services now, have like tiers of right. users where like, if you pay this, you get that. If you pay a little more, you get a little more. So this will be part of their Crunchyroll Ultimate Fan tier, which will now also include Crunchyroll Manga.
Right. So yeah, everybody's getting into this digital comic space all of a sudden.
Again.
Yeah. Will it catch on? Do you read your comics digitally or in print?
Well, it depends on the kind of comics. So, hence, even if you've never listened to an episode of this show before, you may be able to guess from things I have said earlier in this episode that if I'm going to be reading it on a phone, I want Infinite Scroll.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
I hate the little, like, guided view. I hate pinching to enlarge. It's just... It took people a long time to figure out the best way to do it on phones, and I honestly think that for now, Infinite Scroll is it. So I typically, if I'm reading something that is like in traditional page form digitally, then I will dig out my Kindle Fire and read it on that, because that's the only format I find it readable on.
Mm.
But yeah, generally I'm using an Infinite Scroll app, or alternately, I'm reading paper.
It really is.
Because I just...
It really is so much just the flow. And, you know, Guided View, they've been trying to make Guided View happen for, 15 years. And,
you try all these different ways to make a light bulb. You have to experiment to get to the good way.
You know, I used to have a category on the beat called Future Comics, which is, this really came up during the late aughts. Whenever the iPad was introduced, which was probably maybe 2010, something like that, 2012, 13. Anyway, there was a lot of attempts to make comics, future comics, like moving comics, comics with sound, comics that scrolled.
I hated those.
Yeah, comics where each panel was a little cartoon, motion comics, blotion comics, schmotion comics, commotion comics. And I was fascinated by them. And it just seemed like the one that worked, there was two people who stood out as really being storytellers in these formats. One was Emily Carroll. And their stuff was absolutely terrifying and wonderful and used the medium. They were Infinite Scroll, though, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. I think they were Infinite Scroll in that they were sometimes vertical scroll, but some of them were also horizontal scroll. Like, they did use just, the navigation of your laptop, really. And they're horror comics, so very much using the space, using the time. Just brilliant. I mean, they are... Emily Carroll is a gem. The other one was Boulet, the French cartoonist, who did all sorts of little experiments. I'm sorry to... I mean, unless you count my talking about Emily Carroll's scrolling comics, I don't think the Future Comics column caught on to the fact that vertical scroll on mobile would be
vertical Infinite Scroll's the
way. Yes, vertical. Yes, vertical Infinite Scroll.
Well, I mean, again, people tried. I mean, I think it was a good 10 years of a lot of great programmers and graphic designers and comic creators trying everything before finding something that worked. And it's not that, like, they were dumb. It's just that, you got to try things and see how they go.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, some of these experiments are fascinating. I mean, one of the experiments Okay, now I'm completely blanking, so I got to look it up. But one of the really great comics that started as an experimental comic was Upgrade Soul by Ezra Clayton Daniels, which we all love this book. It's one of the greatest science fiction graphic novels of all times. And it started as a episodic iPad comic that had a soundtrack. And so it was later just released as a print comic. But, you know, there's a lot of great comics that started as experiments, technical experiments, and God bless. I mean, expand those horizons, you know. But a lot of them were just trying to make fetch happen, like motion comics. I don't think anybody's ever read a motion comic and said, damn, that was good.
I have said, damn, that's terrible. I remember that there was some event that Marvel had put on where they were going to project part of their motion comic on the side of a building in Union Square. So we went there and we looked at it and I thought, this is a lot of trouble for something this bad.
Oh man, I'd forgotten about that. I do remember the event you're talking about though. They gave us nice gift bags though.
It was nice.
Cool.
I mean, I'm glad they genuinely put effort into it and backed their creators. It wasn't there yet, but Vertical Infinite Scroll is there now.
Yes, yes,
and
it has
so there's
been.
No reason not to use it.
And it has been,
but I just mean like it's, I think the American comic industry has now caught up to being like, okay, now this is the format for reading on phones.
Yeah, and I mean, this is obviously a longer discussion and you know, we always threaten to do theme episodes, but this would be a great theme episode, is to talk about whether you can actually reformat traditional American Western comics into the Infinite Vertical Scroll.
Yes, most of them.
And have
not
them,
all of
but
them.
Will they be compelling in that format?
Yes. I mean, there are a lot of American creators creating comics in that format right now.
But too native to Vertical Scroll.
Right. But I've seen things reformatted for Vertical Scroll. And I'm not saying every single comic will flow well in it. But I am saying, generally speaking, yeah, it will. Because basically Vertical Scroll is just putting one panel on top of the other panel. And there are things you can do with it and other stylistic flourishes. But at the end of the day, it's panel, 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 panel. As opposed to panel, space, panel, space, down, panel, space, panel, space, down, panel, space,
right,
panel, space,
right,
down.
Right.
It's, I mean, the one thing it's not going to do well are those giant two-page spreads.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else I think will be fine.
So Batman, no.
Well, I think what it won't be good for is it won't be good for those 47 different character crossovers that they sometimes do. Yeah, that's going to be a problem. But for your average comic, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to hear your confidence in that, because I don't feel like we've had our crossover, you know.
Well, I haven't
Olympus.
Been trying until now.
Right. Well, yeah, they've been dipping their toe.
Right, but it hasn't been. They've been making things that are Vertical Scroll native. As well they should.
Yeah.
But they haven't been taking the pre-existing stuff and converting it over. I think they wanted to see how it did before they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to see. We're going to see how it goes.
Yeah. Listen, there's only... I know I've talked about this before, but there's been one Solo Leveling. There's been one Lore Olympus. And there's a lot following on those. And it will follow. It will come. We will see more hits and we will see.
I mean, they may not be... Well, I'm telling you right now, listeners... You can gloat if I'm wrong, but Lord of Mysteries is going to be huge.
Okay, well, let's segue a little bit to just talking about the year of anime. Like I said, it's not really the year because it's been huge, but all of a sudden everyone thinks that anime is huge.
It's the year of normies discovering anime.
Yes, and now this is a manga, and along with the anime, the manga is sweeping in. So what is this book that you're talking about here?
Okay, so Lord of Mysteries, like Solo Leveling, is not actually a manga because it's coming from outside of Japan. Solo Leveling is coming out of Korea, and Lord of Mysteries is coming out of China, but both of them had major releases in Japan as anime that have been very popular. Lord of Mysteries is just coming out. They did originally have a Chinese manhwa that was roundly derided by fans. It is available, confusingly, on the same app as the new one, because once the book that it's based on got really big, they realized, and was going to be made into an animation, they were like, we need a better comic adaptation of this. So in 2025, they're currently on episode 13 in English. They are redoing it as a really good manhwa, which is to say Chinese manga.
Is this the book you picked up, right?
Yes. So okay, I picked so up
Kate has
the
a copy.
Print,
she's holding
yes.
it.
So it
but
is,
it's the novel. It's not
the novel.
Right.
It's the novel. So the novel had been out in the United States as a web novel for mm-hmm. several years, but it hadn't hit traditional print. Mm-hmm. But now it's getting a major publisher release. It's a beautiful, thick, chunky book with a new, fresh translation. The original translation, little janky. This one, much better. The huge upgrade. The anime is amazing. The book is really good. And at least the first 13 episodes of the new manhwa, good. And, you know, the book and the manhwa both came out online as webcomic and web novel first. And it's like, you know, the age of the new Dickens is. where,
right?
you know, yeah. things are like mega serialized and only afterwards when you put it all together do you go, damn, that's really long.
Well, just as with our earlier conversation about Lit RPG, which is another, you know, kind of spinoff of all of this kind of nerd literature, light novels and all of this sort of stuff. There's just so many different forms of storytelling. So what was it called again? One more time?
So it's called Lord of Mysteries?
Lord of Mysteries. So you heard it here first on this podcast.
Yeah, but. So basically a character from the modern world wakes up in what could best be described as like gas lamp fantasy. So
is it isekai?
It's isekai, but it's not into like your typical isekai world. It's basically like a Victorian-esque sort of H.P. Lovecraft world that he wakes up in. And, you know, Victorian H.P. Lovecraft type stuff happens. It's great.
Yeah, it sounds good. Well, speaking of traditional media, and again, you know, the year of discovering that anime is huge. Well, Demon Slayer, the new movie, is actually huge.
Yeah. So last week we last installment of our news podcast, we had shared that Demon Slayer Infinity Castle looked like it was on its way to a box office record in the United States. And, oh boy, it sure made it. So they have the biggest anime opening ever in the United States at $70 million in one weekend. And it just keeps burning up the charts.
Yeah, it's also the biggest anime ever in Japan. And its worldwide take of $555 million thus far, without even having opened in China, is more than the Fantastic Four movie made. So step aside Marvel, MCU. Yeah. There is a new player in town who's been around for a while, and they are huge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they hadn't necessarily been huge in movie theaters in the United States, but they have now, in just 2 weeks, they have made $104 million in North America. which is enormous. It's a mega hit, and it's not going to be the last. And I'm hoping that maybe, although I could be wrong, but maybe it will stop making American studios go, we want to get some of this anime money from movie theaters. Let's make a live action with white people.
Oh my God.
Please stop doing that. It's lost money every single time they do that for the big screen. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just do this instead. Just put the actual anime in the movie theater.
Well, a reckoning is coming. A change is coming. And, you know, there's so much... it's coming fast. It's coming right for us. So, yeah. And part of this story is just the general, you know, shambolic state of entertainment media. We're seeing consolidation on an unprecedented scale. And look, we're not even talking about the political stuff that's been going on in the world. No need to bring that up again.
No, we don't need to bring that up beyond the fact that the FCC has been allowing some mergers that they might not have in the past.
Right.
And so a lot of companies, understandably, who have been wanting these mergers for a while, are now trying to get more mergers through.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes for them.
We'll see. And there is, you know, certain very powerful factions that are really happy to support their ideological allies. So another, you know, Warner Brothers, poor beleaguered Warner Brothers, which had one incredibly crappy, you know, I'm very careful to use the crap word so Kate doesn't have to bleep me out. But
thank
a
you.
Really crappy owner in AT&T that completely, like, messed it up and had really bad acquisition on their part because it just was not two businesses that were compatible. And then they sold it to David Zaslav and the Discovery Channels. And, you know, that was not really that great either. Like, the stock is tanked. And
sadly, they hired him. He doesn't own it. So
he does own it.
Oh, Zaslav actually has
yeah.
the... Okay, I thought he just worked there.
No, he bought Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's no secret that they're trying to sell it again, and it looks like Skydance, run by Larry Ellison, who just bought Paramount.
So now they're Paramount Skydance.
Paramount Skydance might also, you know, when you're on a shopping spree, sometimes you just can't stop. So why not buy another studio? Why not buy Warner Brothers? And it's a credible bid, or credible, he's certainly talking about it. There was another story that maybe Netflix was going to buy Warner Brothers. I can't even wrap my brain around that.
I don't think Netflix is going to buy Warner
but,
Brothers.
But this would mean there's only three movie studios now. That would mean there's Universal, Paramount, and Warner Brothers, and that's it.
And Sony.
Four. Sorry. But...
Man. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. For actually genuinely non-ideological reasons, this is a bad idea. This is too much consolidation.
It is, and it leaves so many fewer options for people. In theory, look, it hasn't happened yet.
My hope is it doesn't happen, because no matter how good each individual company is, the fewer options, the harder things get for
yeah,
everyone involved.
Absolutely. And we should, however, be aware that Warner Brothers is going to be sold.
Yes, it could be sold to another movie studio, or it could be sold to someone else, which would make it less of a monopoly.
Yeah. We'll see. More to
come. I mean, Warner Brothers has been sold and bought many, 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 many times.
Yes, unfortunately. So, anyway, what else is going on in the manga world this week, Kate? One Piece news?
One Piece. Well, I mean, it's sort of gotten a little more relevant this week, but it's been going on for a bit, where One Piece is in the news, and news photos, actually. So... there's been some political unrest in both the Philippines and Indonesia. and, you know, a lot of people protesting political corruption, you know, unhappiness with the current political state in their countries. And a significant number of protesters have been using as their symbol not just a pirate flag, but specifically the One Piece pirate flag. It is being painted as graffiti. It is being flown at protests. This is not the first time that pop culture has been used as a revolutionary symbol, maybe in a tongue-in-cheek way, maybe in a, hey, isn't this, like, yeah, just, if you try to throw me in jail for it, I'll just say I'm a big Hunger Games fan, like, kind of way. But, you know, I don't know how One Piece's creator feels about how One Piece's creator feels about his symbol becoming politically fraught. Yeah. I guess it's just a sign that manga is globally relevant.
Well, I mean, it's One Piece is one of the most popular. Is it the best selling manga of all time? I think so.
I think if you count all the volumes together, yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's, you know, this is the thing. It's like, I think I brought this up a few episodes ago, but, you know, that's what comics are really great at. They're really great at creating iconic characters that symbolize other things. And, you know, we've seen that for Ill with Pepe the Frog, but we see it for other things with One Piece, with, you know, all over the place. It's just, that's what comics do.
V for Vendetta, yeah.
They create icons, so yeah. So yeah, and let's see, what else do we have here? You know, I never mentioned, when you mentioned like you're reading your comics, I just want to throw in really quickly on digital comics. I have an iPad Pro, which is larger. It has a screen that's about the size of my MacBook Air. And that's when I need to read comics for panels or, you know, research or whatever, I usually get the PDF and I just throw it onto there. I read it and my PDF reading program, and some of them you can mark up, which I find incredibly useful. A lot of times I'll make a slideshow out of it in that format. You know, I'll save the individual.
Yeah, and you can also do it on, like I do, a cheap Kindle Fire. You can do it just as easily on there. Like, you don't need to go out and buy an iPad. If you really want to read your digital comics large, there are affordable options.
Well, I have very bad eyesight because I'm older, so I need larger.
Well, that's fine. I'm just talking to the listeners.
Yes. Yes. If you're a young couple.
You've clearly made
couple.
Your choices.
Yes.
I just was advocating to the listeners they have options.
Yeah. But iPad is a really great platform, a really great device, excuse me, for reading digital comics in traditional page format. Yes. And I have a big giant hard drive on it, so I can save lots and lots and lots of comics, which is awesome. So, because I like the digital hoard, as well as other kinds of hoarding, physical comics. So, let's see. What else? Well, speaking of physical comics, I was at SPX. You might have heard some of our interviews from there. I also have an interview with the great Carla Speed McNeil.
Coming up next week.
Carla will be in our next week. And, of course, talking to Carla. She should do, or they should do a podcast. Like, Carla never shuts up, but it's wonderful talking to her. She's one of those people I just love listening to. And she had a new comic, and it was really wonderful. And anyway, you can hear the conversation with Carla next week. Otherwise, I kind of felt like this was two things really quickly to talk about. You know, overall, Ignatz Awards, of course, spotlighted an array of wonderful new creators, but also Anders Nilsson, who's really been at SPX for 20 years, won two. He won Artist of the Year and Best Comic, and it was kind of like, don't call it a comeback. I mean, it was nice to see an old-timer recognize. Anders isn't really that old, but I feel
he's been around for a while.
But it's not even that. I just like, I feel like the churn at a show like SPX is always towards like new cartoonists coming, right, which is wonderful.
And it's not even necessarily that they're younger creators, but they're newer to the form.
Yeah. And well, they are younger. It's definitely a place for for youthful vibrance and I mean, I saw some people who were guests of honor a decade ago, sitting with nobody coming up to them, no names. But you know, then I saw some people who'd been around for a while with lines, but I mean, people like Ngozi was there. Of course, she had a huge line all the time. Really getting to my second point, I said there was a lot of pandemic comics there or pandemic graphic novels, because it seemed like every book that debuted was 300 to 400 pages long. And I just felt like people had been, you know, cooped up inside for the pandemic, and they're like, I guess I'll do this book now. And, you know, it ends up to be 400 pages. But I think we talked about a few of them, but, you know, there was Mimi Pond's book about the Mitford sisters. There was Ben Wickie's book about the witches, the Salem witch trials. There was the book The Wait by Melissa Mendez, that was like another 300 pager. There was so many gigantic, wonderful books at the show. It was really, you know, my roommates, I was staying with good friends Bridget Alverson and Johanna Draper Carlson, and their stacks of books were just enormous. I'm like, I have all the books at home, so I didn't buy them, but my stack at home is enormous. So yeah, just, you know, SPX abides, man. It continues. Really great show. Everybody talking about community there. There's one cartoonist who was just hanging out. She wasn't even set up, and she put up on Facebook the next day this picture of herself crying on the way home, and she was just saying how she left the show and just felt, you know, this wave of gratefulness and also just
missing it
and just missing the community, and but how grateful she was for the community. And people get emotional like that talking about SPX and TCAF and just these indie shows of just, you know, how important spending a weekend with your colleagues, your friends is, and your readers is so important. So anyway, it was, I concur. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year for sure. All right. Do we have any briefs we want to fit in there, Kate?
Well, I do believe we do. Have we hit all of our targets? Yes, we've hit all our targets. So we have time for some fun.
Yes.
Okay. So listeners, have you may have heard of CGC. Where they... comics creators, professional comics creators will look at your comic, say like what quality it is, and then lock it up eternally in plastic because that's what you want to do with a wonderful comic. I don't know. I'm not that flavor of collector. But last year, in 2024, there had been a scandal with a rogue comics grader who had been doing a bait and switch with people.
We called it Slabgate.
Yes. And so the CGC was like, we need to redesign our slabs to make it harder for someone to pull this. Well, turns out their new comic encasements are not all they're cracked up to be, or are rather cracking up. So as an article in Heidi's comicsbeat.com testifies, people are complaining about their quote-unquote bloated CGC slabs. So they get their highly collectible item, they get it graded, they spend all this money to get it encased in plastic so no one can ever read it again, and now those austere slabs are sort of expanding in the heat in a way that the old ones didn't.
Well, wasn't it that's were they left in the car because I don't know, they were exposed to heat and
It's hot out in the summer
up. Yeah,
you know, if you have it too close to a window, if you have it in your car, if you, you know, the old ones didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
These do. It's a design flaw.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your collectibles in the car in the summer. I guess they can't stand up to it anymore. More to come on that.
Yeah, you know, we don't always jump into the world of collectors, but when we do, it's very funny to me.
Yes. Because in a way we're collectors too, but a totally different flavor of collector. We're not there for the rarity. We're there for the readability. So the whole slabbing thing makes no sense to us, but you know, each their own. In other brief news, this one's a little bittersweet. So thanks to Screen Rant for the scoop, Kentaro Miura, the creator of Berserk, who died very young a couple years ago, had been working on a new comic after Berserk called Duranki, which was going to be a magnum opus. The idea was it was going to be like a different fantasy work that was not as dark as Berserk. And he got maybe like one volume in. So it has now finally been translated into English. And they are going to package it as one book with the original chapters that he finished before his death. And then, and I think this is great, as bonus materials, they're going to have Miura's plot notes for where he was going with it, which will both give a glimpse into his creative process and also an idea to where the story was going and what was going to happen with it. Dark Horse is bringing this out. I think this is a great idea. And frankly, I wish that many great creators' works maybe were released in this manner instead of being finished by totally different people and you couldn't tell which part was
yours. Well, I think Miura was so great and Berserk was so singular that any idea of anybody continuing his work would be so impossible. But
they did it to Dorothy Sayers and badly. So, you know.
Well, words are easier to mimic than art, I think. But that's me, so.
Well, I think anyone who's really great is hard to mimic, and I'm glad they're not trying.
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of mimicking, I have one last little brief myself, which is we reported that, you know, we've talked about it over the years. Olivia James took over Nancy, the comic strip, and a pseudonym, and, you know, stuff like Sluggo was lit just really invigorated it. And then they announced that Olivia was leaving, and Carolyn Cash, the creator of the great Pee Pee Poo Poo, will be taking over as the Nancy strip artist. And you know what? That's fantastic because she's hilarious. And we're dying to see what, you know, very contemporary, modern, fresh, relevant. Nancy's still lit. And so is Carolyn Cash. So congrats on that.
Yeah. And I wonder if we'll see more of Olivia under that name or if she will just return to whatever her other name is.
Well, we never cracked the code. No. Never learned who she was. I talked to someone at SPX who said that they had literally just stumbled upon her true identity earlier that week through some clues that were out there. So it can be pieced together.
If you really, really know your stuff.
I wanted to try to out her or, you know, solve the mystery over the years. And you know what? At this point, I'm just like, let it stay a secret.
No, it's okay. I was just wondering.
Good to have things in life that stay unknown.
Yeah, I was just wondering if she would use that pseudonym for anything else in the future.
Well, that will be curious.
Yeah.
Because I guess there's going to be... that's it. This is our wrap-up before New York Comic Con. We'll see you on the other side. Hopefully we make it through. Come to our panel Saturday, 5:15. Kate, do you know what room it's in?
No.
It's in room 408 in the new wing. So come to our panel. Gala 700th episode. And then we will be back for episode 701. It'll be the whole crew, all four of us again, to talk about New York Comic Con. And please come to New York Comic Con and please listen to our podcast because there will be more
to
come.